Chapter 138. Some account of the wild cattle in Polynesia. Before we proceed further, a word or two concerning these wild cattle and the way they came on the island. Some 50 years ago, Vancouver left several bullocks, sheep, and goats at various places in the society group. He instructed the natives to look after the animals carefully, and by no means to slaughter any until a considerable stock had accumulated. The sheep must have died off, for I never saw a solitary fleece in any part of Polynesia. The pair left were an ill-assorted couple, perhaps, separated in disgust, and died without issue. As for the goats, occasionally you come across a black, misanthropic ram, nibbling the scant herbage of some height inaccessible to man, in preference to the sweet grasses of the valley below. The goats are not very numerous. The bullocks, coming of a prolific ancestry, are a hardy set, racing over the island of Imeo in considerable numbers, though in Tahiti, but few of them are seen. At the former place, the original pair must have scampered off to the interior since it is now so thickly populated by their wild progeny. The herds are the private property of Queen Pomeree, from whom the planters had obtained permission to shoot for their own use as many as they pleased. The natives stand in great awe of these cattle, and for this reason are excessively timid in crossing the island, preferring rather to sail round to an opposite village in their canoes. Tono I abounded in bullock stories, most of which, by the by, had a spice of the marvelous. The following is one of these. Once upon a time, he was going over the hills with a brother now no more when a great bull came bellowing out of a wood, and both took to their heels. The old chief sprang into a tree, his companion, flying in an opposite direction, was pursued, and, in the very act of reaching up to a bough, trampled underfoot. The unhappy man was then gored, tossed in the air, and finally run away with on the bull's horns. More dead than alive, Tono I waited till all was over, and then made the best of his way home. The neighbors, armed with two or three muskets, at once started to recover, if possible, his unfortunate brother's remains. At nightfall, they returned without discovering any trace of him, but the next morning, Tono I himself caught a glimpse of the bullock, marching across the mountain's brow, with a long dark object borne aloft on his horns. Having referred to Vancouver's attempts to colonize the islands with useful quadrupeds, we may as well say something concerning his success upon Hawaii, one of the largest islands in the whole Polynesian archipelago, and which gives the native name to the well-known cluster named by Cook in honor of Lord Sandwich. Hawaii is some 100 leagues in circuit, and covers an area of over 4,000 miles. Until within a few years past, its interior was almost unknown, even to the inhabitants themselves, who, for ages, had been prevented from wandering thither by certain strange superstitions. Pili, the terrific goddess of the volcanoes Mount Iowa and Mount Ki, was supposed to guard all the passes to the extensive valleys lying round their base. There are legends of her having chased with streams of fire several impious adventurers. Near Hilo, a jet-black cliff is shown, with the vitreous torrent apparently pouring over into the sea, just as it cooled after one of these supernatural eruptions. To these inland valleys, and the adjoining hillsides, which are clothed in the most luxuriant vegetation, Vancouver's bullocks soon wandered, and unmolested for a long period, multiplied in vast herds. Some 12 or 15 years ago, the natives lost sight of their superstitions, and learning the value of the hides in commerce, began hunting the creatures that wore them, but being very fearful and awkward in a business so novel, their success was small, and it was not until the arrival of a party of Spanish hunters, men regularly trained to their calling upon the plains of California, that the work of slaughter was fairly begun. The Spaniards were showy fellows, tricked out in gay blankets, leggings worked with porcupine quills, and jingling spurs. Mounted upon trained Indian mares, these heroes pursued their prey up to the very base of the burning mountains, making the profoundest solitude ring with their shouts, and flinging the lasso under the very nose of the vixen goddess Pili. Hilo, a village upon the coast, was their place of resort, and thither flocked roving whites from all the islands of the group. As pupils of the dashing Spaniards, many of these dissipated fellows, quaffing too freely of the stirrup cup, and riding headlong after the herds, when they reeled in the saddle, were unhorsed and killed. This was about the year 1835 when the present king, Tamahamaha III, comma was a lad. With royal impudence laying claim to the sole property of the cattle, he was delighted with the idea of receiving one of every two silver dollars paid down for their hides. So, with no thought for the future, the work of extermination went madly on. In 3 years' time, 18,000 bullocks were slain, almost entirely upon the single island of Hawaii. The herds being thus nearly destroyed, the sagacious young prince imposed a rigorous taboo upon the few surviving cattle, which was to remain in force for 10 years. During this period, not yet expired, all hunting is forbidden, unless directly authorized by the king. The massacre of the cattle extended to the hapless goats. In 1 year, 3,000 of their skins were sold to the merchants of Honolulu, fetching a quartilla, or a shilling sterling apiece. After this digression, it is time to run on after Tono I and the Yankee. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.